In the sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus gave his disciples a most important lesson, and that was the lesson of how we should pray. He tells them not to pray as others do, but in a new way. In verses 6 through 8, he says this, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need even before you ask him." And then in verses 9 and 10, he tells us exactly how we should begin our prayers. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In these verses, we have a simple definition of God's great promise. God is first blessed in his domain in heaven, followed by the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Here we find the direction and the order of God's great promise to bless all the families of the earth. First to a heavenly class where God resides, and then to those upon the earth. The promises of God are a constant source of blessings to every footstep followers of Jesus. Every Christian has had some occasion to thank God for his promised grace and help in time of need. "My grace is sufficient for thee" is a promise we treasure and we lean upon daily. "All things work together for good to those who love God, to the called according to his purpose" is another promise which we believe and which encourages us. Peter says, "Whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine natures, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." As Christians, we have found the promises of God are a large part of our present inheritance. They have given us peace in the midst of storms. And while others view the present troubles of the world with fear and dread, we view with hope God's promised blessing and pray as Jesus instructed us, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's promises also tell us of the future inheritance of Christians. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The crown of life, immortality. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. These are wonderful promises. But our discussion today is not to focus solely upon the first resurrection. Our topic today is upon another resurrection, which will follow the first. We will not discuss in detail reigning with Christ 1,000 years, but rather how that 1,000-year reign of Christ will affect your family and mine. Yes, we will examine how that 1,000-year reign of Christ will affect all of the families upon the whole earth. One of the first promises that God made to man is recorded in Genesis 12:3. There he said to Abraham, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And while Abraham undoubtedly kept that saying in his mind, not knowing what it meant, we not only hold it in our minds, but we emphasize the fact that all families of the earth will be blessed because of that promise. As Bible students, we also rejoice with Abraham and with all the families of the earth in the assurance that his promise gives us, especially during this present evil world. But some may think that God is slack concerning his promises. You know, it wasn't too long ago that there were exclamations declared that God is dead. The world has seen thousands of years pass by, and still they have not seen the families of the earth blessed in accordance with this promise from God. They've seen wars and trouble and stress. They've seen deceit and wickedness. They have seen the unstoppable current of pain and suffering. But the rivers of blessing to all the families of the earth are dried up. We know these things, but we also know that God is not slack concerning his promises. We have proven that in our Christian life. We know that his promise to Abraham will be fulfilled. In Hebrews 6, verses 13 and 14, Hebrews 6, 13 and 14, we read this, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing I will bless thee.' Therefore, upon the authority of God's honor, we have the assurance that this promise will be fulfilled." God repeated this great promise that he made to Abraham's son Isaac. And again later, he repeated it to Jacob. We see in these two accounts a very important detail in God's promise to bless mankind. We'd like to read the two accounts. The first is found in Genesis 26, verses 1 through 4. "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, 'Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And then in Genesis 28, verses 10 to 14, we read of this promise repeated again, this time to Jacob. "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou dwellest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" Did you notice the difference in the promise spoken to Isaac and to Jacob? To Isaac, the promise was made that his seed would be as the stars of the heaven. But to Jacob, his promise was that his seed would be as the dust of the earth. But both were assured that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Let us keep that in mind. To most of our Christian friends, the Bible is cloaked in mysteries. Invite them to a study on Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac, and they will still not see the beauty of the ransom because of their fierce belief in the Trinity. Ask them how a loving God can sentence most of his human creation to an eternity of burning in hell, and they say it's his right to do so, even if it's not in harmony with God's character. They have their chance in this lifetime, would be their response. These are mysteries to our friends in the churches, but we are blessed to have God unlock these mysteries. The scriptures assure us that God has revealed his promises to his consecrated children. Jesus testifies to this fact in Matthew 13, verses 10, 11, and 16 and 17. "And the disciples came and said unto him, 'Why speakest thou unto them in parables?' And he answered and said unto them, 'Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them.'" And we have the testimony also of the Apostle Paul in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. Romans 16, 25, 26. "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And again from Paul in Colossians 1, verses 25 and 26. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. With this fact in mind, that this mystery has been opened to us, let us read Genesis 22, verses 15 to 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let's consider the importance of these words. To Abraham, the promise was that his seed would be as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the seashore. To Isaac, the promise is that his seed should be as the stars of the heaven only. To Jacob, the promise is that his seed shall be as the sand of the seashore only. Here we find, by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, a simple proof of the two parts of the great kingdom of God. There are many such proof in the Scriptures. We are so blessed to understand this division of the kingdom of God. In Acts 15, verses 13 to 17, we read these words. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. A people for his name. And after a people for his name has been chosen, we are assured that the residue of men will call upon the Lord. Here's the same thing proven in this great promise of God. Isaac, the spiritual seed representing the holy phase, heavenly phase of the kingdom of God, and Jacob, the earthly seed representing the earthly phase of the kingdom of God. Let's look further in the New Testament to see if this great truth is really so. In Galatians, the third chapter, verses 14 through 17, we find the Apostle Paul's testimony in this matter, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And in Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, we read this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him as a figure. Here we find that Christ was typed by Isaac. No wonder then that it was Isaac who was given the promise that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. But to fully enjoy this great promise, we must know that the seed was not Christ alone, because in Galatians 3, 26 to 29, we're given these words. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And in Romans 9, 7, 8, we also read about this fact. Romans 9, 7, and 8. neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And so from Pentecost until the present day, one here and one there have heard the call and have done something about it, to investigate to be the seed of Abraham. Our Master said, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. These disciples of Jesus, through the spirit of consecration and through the spirit of devotion, have followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And these shall be of the spiritual seed of Abraham. These are pictured as the stars of heaven. These shall live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. For if they be Christ, then are they Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here we see the church is included in the stars of heaven, or the spiritual seed. And a star differeth from star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. But some might ask, why is it so long since God has made his promise that he would bless all the families of the earth, and yet the families of the earth have not been blessed? Why is God's will not being done in earth as it is in heaven? The reason to us is simple. God could not bless all the families of the earth until the seed was complete. Because the promise was, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And therefore, the church, the bride of Christ, the little flock, had to be chosen from among men before the time would come when that promise would be extended to all the families of the earth. This spiritual seed will have part in the first resurrection. The spiritual seed will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And during the 1,000 years, we're told in the 11th chapter of Romans that there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, so that not only natural Israel, but all the families of the earth will be blessed as the sand upon the seashore, as the dust of the earth, and as the earthly seed in the kingdom of God, for which we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To understand this great truth is to make the study of the Bible much more enjoyable. And what joy do we find when we witness this great truth to anyone with a hearing ear? We all know that there are texts of Scripture that tell us that some will go to heaven. Our Master said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the Master says also that we will live and reign with him 1,000 years. On the other hand, there are also many promises found in the Bible that speak of wonderful conditions to be established right here on earth, where men shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, where nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. We know that this promise does not refer to a heavenly condition, but to an earthly one. And then again, where the Bible says that they will build houses and inhabit them, and plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them, that one shall not plant and another eat, one shall not build and another inhabit, but everyone shall sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and there shall none be made afraid. This describes the earthly phase of the kingdom. And when we realize God's great promise to bless all the families of the earth is divided into the assurance that some will receive a spiritual reward as stars of the heaven, and that all the families of the earth will be blessed upon the earth as the sand of the seashore, we truly understand the width and breadth of God's love and his mercy. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse, we have a remarkable text of Scripture. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Do you notice the words of this Scripture? If so, you notice something of great value. Let's read it again. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Here God tells us what the gospel truly is. The gospel is that all nations shall be blessed, that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do you believe that gospel? The errors of the nominal church system obscure this gospel with teachings of the Trinity, of hellfire and brimstone, and other doctrines which are a dishonor to the name of God. But as for us, we prefer the gospel that God preached to Abraham. We prefer the gospel that tells us that through the great kingdom of God, all families of the earth will be blessed. We'd like to read Acts 3, verses 19 to 21, and Acts 4, verses 1 and 2. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And then Acts 4, 1 and 2. And as he spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. In this sermon by the Apostle Peter, we have another account of the apostle who speaks of the promised blessings of the families of the earth. He says that during that time there will be a restitution of all things. He tells us not to be ashamed of teaching restitution to the people, that the kingdom of God will restore to man the blessings that were lost in Eden, because he says all God's holy prophets have so preached down through the ages. Let us read again the importance of this message in Acts 3, 21, 24, and 25. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with their fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And now let's read again chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. As you all know, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they knew that the resurrection of the dead would have to take place in order for the blessing to reach all the families of the earth, because some of those kindreds were in their graves and would have to be resurrected before that blessing could be extended to them. That's what the apostle was preaching. The religious leaders of that time did not like it, and they do not like it today. It doesn't fit into the creeds of men, but we will continue to preach through Christ the resurrection of the dead. To us, it is the old, old story, what's been called the old-time religion. It was good enough for God to preach to Father Abraham. It was good enough for the Apostle Paul when he said that it was the true gospel. And it was good enough for Peter. Yes, it was good enough for all God's holy prophets since the world began. And it's good enough for us. God's promised blessing to all the families of the earth is assured upon the authority of God himself. It will come through the anointed Christ, through the seed of Abraham. And our assurance for this hope is in the realization that our prayer will be answered and that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has promised it, and he will do it. And so the stars of heaven are being chosen now. They will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years, the church of God. Then, as the sand of the seashore, the residue of men, all the willing and obedient, yea, even those who have gone down into death, will be blessed in the establishment of that great kingdom that we have been taught to pray. I want to read with you Psalm 22, verse 27. Psalm 22, 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before him. And in Psalms 105, verses 1 through 9, we read these words. O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and judgments in his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac. And therefore, with full assurance of the power of God to fulfill his promise, we look forward to that time when the promise that he made to Abraham will be fulfilled, when he said, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And none will have any envy or jealousy or regret at having an earthly reward rather than a heavenly one, because life here on earth will be the heart's true desire of all those living on earth. How many times have you attended a funeral and heard a minister or a priest or a pastor describe the newly departed as being heaven, doing their favorite activity that they did here on earth? To those who return in the earthly phase of the kingdom, it will be heaven to them. They will recognize God's will and deep love for them found in the beautiful words of Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrowing nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And because we are assured and believe that God will keep his promise, we pray with confidence and understanding, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Brethren, isn't that why we come together? To remember the promises of our Heavenly Father. Not that he's giving them only to us, but he's promises to our neighbors, our family, who don't have this understanding now. We heard last hour about this, the parables. Why didn't Jesus explain what he was preaching? And we see that all through the New Testament, he said it was a mystery that's been opened to us during the gospel age, while God chooses this small band to be his family. What a wonderful understanding we have. What a wonderful appreciation of who God is, that he's promised not to bless only those who come out now, but those in the next age who are also his children. And so when we come together, may we remember to encourage one another of God's love for us and God's love for all of his human creation. And remember again what Jesus taught us, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And may the Lord add his blessing to this wonderful promise he's opened to our eyes.